And then, and let's stretch ourselves one more time before we finish. Lesson 6, the final lesson of Principles of Church Life, Teacher's Manual, Understanding Your Trials. How many here have ever been through a trial? Okay, I'll bring the mic down to you, and could you tell us, each of you tell us about your fiercest trial in life? How long do you think we'd be here tonight if everybody took the microphone and told us about their fiercest trial? I guess what I'm saying is trials are common to Christians, not just to the world, but they're common to Christians too. Now, a lot of things that happen in the world is the goodness of God leading people to repentance so they can be saved and go to heaven. Right? Well, why do Christians have trials then? To bring us to perfection. Amen. To bring us to perfection. The Lord wants His people to be like Him, and He is perfect. And we're not there, but we're on the journey. We should be on the journey. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So we got down to question 25, and I think we only have 28 questions. So question 25, 6, 7, 8, 4 questions tonight. What did Peter say the Lord knows how to do? If you want to turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I love the Word of God. How many love the Word of God tonight? Praise the Lord. There is nothing like the Word of God. The Word of God is quick. That means alive. And it's powerful. That means it's strong. Amen. The Word of God is quick and powerful. And it's sharp. It'll cut you to death or it'll cut you to life. Did you catch? Yeah. When God cuts, He cuts to heal the Christian. But when He cuts a sinner down that won't repent, whew, it's all over. It's going to be over one day. Aren't you glad you've repented of your sins? Praise the Lord. And that His precious blood followed your repentance and washed you white as snow. You stand holy in His presence tonight. Amen. But right now we're going to school. We are in the school of hard knocks, they call it. We're in the school of learning. We're in the school of how to become what Jesus wants us to be. And I want to begin reading at verse 1 because I want us to get the feeling and the picture here. But there were false prophets also among the people. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Even as there shall be false teachers among you. Now, he's talking about the Old Testament. They had false prophets among them. And now he's telling them that you're going to have false prophets among you in the New Testament also. There shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the... Now, they're right among you, right among the Christians, he's saying. Even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. I want you to know that when you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, somebody spoke evil of you. Somebody found fault with you. Somebody criticized you. Maybe one of your parents, maybe both your parents, maybe your grandparents, maybe your brother or sister, maybe an aunt or an uncle or a cousin or a neighbor. But somebody spoke evil of you when you came to Jesus. And Jesus warned us about that because they spoke evil of Him. And He said, you're no better than I am. And if they spoke evil of me, they'll speak evil of you. If they hated me, they'll hate you. These are some of the conditions that we get accustomed to when we become Christians. We decide, hey, we're going to take it. We're going to take it and we're going to respond according to the Scriptures. Amen. So the way of truth is evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now here we go. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto darkness, or unto judgment, listen to the second one, and spared not the old world, that's the angels that sinned, and now we're talking about the antediluvian days, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Angels that sinned were cast down. Here's a world that's ungodly, and it was flooded. And now turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, sodomy, Gomorrah, lesbianism, homosexuality, all those things, God said, I will not tolerate this. And He sent down fire and brimstone from heaven upon them and destroyed them all. But first He warned Lot. He said, get out. get your wife, get your family, and get out. But his wife turned back. Her heart was still back in sinful Sodom. Lot focused his eyes on his goal, and he made it out of there. Amen. And so, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample. Somebody said to me, oh, God wouldn't do that. I said, really? What if I showed you in the Bible where he already did it? And he said he's going to do it again. Would you believe it then? Listen, making them an ensample, making Sodom and Gomorrah an example, in other words, unto those that should choose that lifestyle after Sodom and Gomorrah. Right? Unto those that after should live ungodly and deliver just Lot. Lot, who was vexed with the filthy conversation. That word conversation there means their lifestyle. It means their behavior, their filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, Lot was a righteous man, and he lived in Sodom, just like we are righteous people, and we live in a veritable Sodom. It's coming. It's progressing. It's gaining ground. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, the Bible says. I'm looking for Jesus to come any day. I really am. And I want to overcome every one of my trials, and I want to be ready when that trumpet sounds. Vexed, that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing. You can't help but see it. You can't help but hear it. It's everywhere. Magazine, billboard, wherever. It's everywhere. Radio. Vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now, we have the law of the land, and we also have the law of God. And some people think that just because the law of the land legalizes something, that God automatically legalizes it. No, sir. No, ma'am. No, brother. No, sister. If God makes it illegal, it's illegal. If God says it's unlawful no matter what the United States of America says about it. No matter what any society says about it. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. If God says it's sin, it's sin. If the society that we live in legalizes it and God illegalizes it, it's wrong. Oh, how we need to establish that in our souls lest we get caught up in a lifestyle like that, like Lot's wife did. And Jesus warned and said, remember Lot's wife. Jesus wept is the shortest verse in the Bible. Remember, Lot's wife is a full verse, and it's not far behind, is it? But listen to this. He vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord, now he goes back to here. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. And so we live in a world like Lot and Lot's wife and his daughters lived in. But listen, we're righteous, and we have to look to him. Because when the odds look overwhelming against us, we have to remember the Lord knows how to deliver us. Praise the Lord. He knows how to do it. He's done it before, and he gives us examples of it right here. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and he also knows how to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. A lot of people are shocked. You'd think that some people believe that this is hell right here on earth. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Anybody here ever heard anybody say that? I've heard. I say, you make your heaven here, you make your hell right here. Oh, brother. If you lived in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah and you started feeling the heat from the fire and brimstone come down on you from heaven, you would say, this is hell, wouldn't you? You'd say, this is hell on earth. But it wasn't. It was just a little tinge of hell. Because the Bible says he's going to resurrect all those people that died under the fire and brimstone that fell from heaven upon them. He's going to resurrect them all and judge them for their sins. It's not over yet. Boy, I'm glad I'm saved. I mean, I could just come unglued tonight. I could go wild tonight just thanking God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have to go to hell. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have to feel fire and brimstone. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to escape all these things. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to overcome. You know why? Because the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment, to be punished. So my question is, what did Peter say the Lord knows how to do? And the answer is, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father which art in heaven, deliver us. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Falling into temptation leads you into evil. And he says, deliver us. Question number 26, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12, 13, and 14 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Then it says this, as I began tonight, there hath no temptation you but such as is common to man. Sometimes you think that you're going through a trial and nobody else has ever experienced. And then Paul comes along and tells the Corinthians, you're not alone. I went through that. She went through that. He went through that. How many here have gone through that? And every hand in the house went up. You know? This is temptations and trials and testings are common to man. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common. Not one. None, he says. There is no temptation that hath taken you but such as is common to man. So we have all kinds of fellowship here tonight. Somebody defined fellowship as two fellows in the same ship. You know? Fellowship. And so here we are having fellowship tonight. You know, we all suffer trials and temptations. So God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. You know, I've heard that defeat is a choice. I've heard that. Defeat is a choice. Victory is certain. If you're a Christian, victory is certain. Was that you that said that? Defeat is a choice. The devil can't beat you. You've got to give in to him for him to win. You've got to quit to lose. You can't be defeated. Victory is certain. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God which causes us always to triumph. Always. Victory daily. He that overcometh, we can overcome. They overcame him because they were Norwegians. Huh? That's not what it says. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We have to know the good book. We've got to have the blood of Jesus applied to our souls and have faith in that blood. Praise the Lord. No, we don't overcome because we're some certain nationality or anything. We overcome because we know him and we have faith in his blood. Amen. And we know the word of God and we can tell the devil to his face. It is written, buddy. It is written. Amen. Hallelujah. So he says, you're going to be able to bear it because I won't allow any more to come upon you than you can bear. Now, that's hard to believe sometimes when you're going through a hard, heavy, fierce, hot trial. That's really hard to believe, but it's the Bible. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, or my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. I mean, put on your eraser shoes and run. Flee from idolatry. Okay, now, what warning is given in verse 12? The warning is this. Don't get high-minded and don't think yourself stronger than you are because God's got one more trial that'll knock you off your feet. He's got it. So he says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Don't get, what do they say in the world? Don't get cocky. Don't get arrogant. Don't think you're bigger than you are because your strength is in the Lord. And so, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. What does that mean? Well, one man said to me, my God's bigger than your God. I said, what do you mean, your God's bigger than my God? He said, well, he can pick me up when I fall. I said, no, I think my God's bigger than yours. He can keep me from falling. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling. We don't have to fall. God is able to deliver the godly out of temptation. God is able to keep us from falling. Just keep our hand in his. How can you fall with your hand in his? You can't. You can't. Keep your grip on eternal life, the Bible says. Lay hold on eternal life. Okay. Is your temptation new, or have others been in similar circumstances? Answer, any temptation we experience is common to mankind. What will God not allow during a Christian's temptations? The answer in verse 13, he will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that you are able. Praise the Lord. See, he wants us to advance from the brick, you know, to the cement block, to the church wall. Remember that last time we talked? Some of you were, most of you were here. Okay, D, what practical commandment is given to keep temptation away? Answer, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. I heard one definition of the word idolatry. Listen to it. It's very brief, concise, terse, and good. Transferring, this is idolatry, transferring the worship and honor of God to a rival. Wow, that's packed. That statement is jam-packed. When we transfer our Sunday morning hours, instead of being in church, we're out in the world somewhere. You know, we're given the honor and the glory that belongs to God to a rival. I don't want to do that. I want to be where God wants me to be every hour of the day. I want to be thinking what he wants me to be thinking every hour of the day. I want to be reading what he wants me to read every hour of the day. I want to be praying, and I want to be in the Spirit every hour of the day. I want to walk in the Spirit. Don't you? Isn't that a glorious life, living for Jesus? Praise the Lord. You know, about the only time some people in the world can smile is when they're high on drugs, dope, liquor, something. That's about the only time they're happy. I've got joy all day long. I've got round-the-clock joy. How about you? How many got round-the-clock joy? I mean, you just feel like dancing round the clock. Amen. Happy. Why shouldn't... What? Anybody tell me why I shouldn't be happy? I'm getting old and I'm still happy. I can't hear perfect anymore. I'm still happy. I can't see as well as I used to. I'm still happy. My hair's falling out. I'm still happy. One man said I used to have a crew cut and the crew bailed out. Be that as it may, I am a Christian. I am saved. I'm glory bound. Why shouldn't I rejoice? Why shouldn't I be happy? Why shouldn't I walk with a spring in my step? Praise God. Do you know where I'm going? No wonder I'm bouncing all day long. I'm going to heaven. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come and go with me to my Father's house. Get that again. What practical commandment is given? Okay, you're always falling into temptation. Oh, God, take these temptations away from me. No, God's not going to take temptation away. Maybe, but. Listen to this. If we will flee from idolatry, I said put on our running shoes and flee from idolatry. And idolatry is transferring worship and honor that belongs to God to a rival. I don't want a Sunday morning boat trip on a beautiful hot summer day to be a rival to my God. I don't want to miss church on Wednesday night to do something that's a rival to God. Put God first. We're going to overcome, saints. Just put God first. Just keep him number one in your life. Let's get our priorities straight. Amen. The Bible's more important than Time magazine. The Bible's more important than People magazine. And if I want to know anything about people, I'm not going to look at People magazine. I'm going to look I'd rather read the genealogies in the Bible than read about all these people in the world. People that are popular. People that are marrying and giving a marriage. People that are homo, lesbian, and they're popular, you know. Well, you've been reading about it. You know, you see it. You can't help it. It's everywhere. Okay. But I'll tell you can analyze the news when you read the Bible. You can just hear the news. Okay. You know, like, I don't know if anybody saw the Red Heifer story in U.S. News and World Report, that rival magazine. But they got the big picture of the Red Heifer there and a big story there. And it just so happened that I knew a little more about it. And I looked at it and I started laughing. Oh, praise the Lord for the truth. Amen. Okay, flee from idolatry. Concerning temptation, Billy Sunday is reported to have said, quote, "You can't stop the birds from flying over your head," relating to temptation. You can't stop temptation from flying around you. You can't stop the birds from flying over your head. But Billy Sunday, you know, he was the guy that stretched out, played baseball, and was a good physical person. He said, "You can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair." That's good. You can stop them from building a nest in your hair. So when you're tempted, just remember, bat the birds away. Amen. Don't let them land in your hair. Number 27, from the following scriptures, list the practical commandments given to help us overcome temptation. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Did you hear that? How many people today are excusing themselves from doing that which looks wrong just because they swear up and down that they're not doing any wrong, even if they are in the house with the other one overnight? "We don't sleep together. I've got a different bedroom," you know. The Bible says don't do it because you're supposed to abstain from anything that looks like it could be evil. What are the neighbors thinking? What are people that drive by and see your car there all night thinking, you know? What are people supposed to think of Christians? This is written to Christians. Paul is telling Christians at Thessalonica to abstain from all appearance of evil. Somebody says, "Well, what's wrong with that? It just looks wrong." Well, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from that which looks wrong. Don't do it. Don't do it. James 4:7, submit yourselves unto God, or to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We're talking about practical commandments given to us to help us overcome temptation. Amen. So, do you want to overcome temptation? Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You want to overcome temptation? Be strong in the Lord. You know how men are strong physically? They go to the gymnasium, or they buy a set of weights, barbells, and they push them up and down. The law of building muscles comes into play. You eat good, healthy food. You get good, healthy rest. You get good, healthy exercise. And you pump those weights. And those weights pump up your arms and legs or whatever you're pumping up, you know. And then you get strong. That's through physical exercise. We're supposed to take spiritual exercise and be strong in the Lord. Amen. You read 5 minutes today in the Bible? How about trying 10 tomorrow? When you're able to read the Bible 10 minutes a day, go for 15. When you're able to read 50, go for 20. Go for a half hour. Go for an hour. And pretty soon, you're going to get so strong in the Lord, you'll amaze yourself. Amen. 11, put on the whole armor of God. Don't leave any piece off. I've always heard that there's a piece of armor covering you everywhere except in your back. You're not supposed to flee from the devil. You're supposed to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Never let him see your backside. You're no coward. You're not retreating. You're not turning around. You're not giving up. You're not running away from him. Take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all. We need to come to the altar tonight. Praying always. Don't leave prayer out. Oh, we go to church to put our time in, like punch a clock in, punch a clock out. No. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We need to pray always. When we come to church Wednesday night, we need to pray Wednesday night. Some of us can't make it because of our jobs on time to pre-service prayer. And so I want to open the altar at post-preaching prayer so people have a chance to pray. Amen. It's very important that we pray. Praying always. You know what you do when you're praying? For one thing you're doing, you're saying to God, I need you. I'm talking to you because I need you. And I'm down here asking for help. My help cometh from the Lord. Jehovah is my strength. We need that. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And when you come on down, don't be bashful. Don't be inhibited. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be intimidated. Go ahead and talk in tongues. Spirit of the prophet, subject to the prophet, you know. Don't let the devil fool you. You can't talk. Yes, you can. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In another one, 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts. I'd like to say that to young people. He's talking to young people here. He says, flee also youthful lusts. Put on those running shoes again. Reeboks, Nikes, whatever they are. Spiritual running shoes. Put them on. Flee youthful lusts. I mean, take off. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I have here in the teacher's manual note, if the devil knocks you down and you sin, don't give up and think all is lost. Some of you have probably fallen down Monday or Tuesday or today. Since Sunday. That could be. If the devil knocks you down and you sin, don't give up and think that all is lost. Call on Jesus for forgiveness and get back up on your feet in His strength and power. Isn't that a good deal? Yeah. Amen. And He will take us back. Psalm 73, 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. 94:18 Psalm. When I said my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. So if you have fallen Monday, Tuesday, or today, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. Praise God. Then I wrote here, it's in the teacher's manual, the mark of a real champion is to quickly get back on his feet when he is down. I forgot the fight, but I heard a preacher, Brother Bennett, you did too. It was Jerry Jones. He preached a sermon on, I think it was the fight of Ezra something. Is there an Ezra Charles, something like that? And Rocky Marciano, I think. And this guy knocked Marciano down, and Marciano got up. And he knocked him down again, and the count to eight, and he got up again. Boy, he preached an exciting message that time. And here's Marciano down, and he comes to, and he gets up, and he beats the other guy. He knocks him out. He wins the fight. You know, that's the way it is with us. The mark of a real champion is to quickly get back on his feet when he is down. You've been knocked down. Don't lay there and wait for the count of 10. Get back up. Get back up and fight. Micah 7:8. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I like that. Don't rejoice against me, O mine enemy. If I fall, I'm getting back up. Amen. Number 28, the last question. What causes a Christian to abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost? Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope, somebody say, fill. Fill. Somebody say, I'm full. I'm full. Amen. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy. How can you be one itsy bitsy little bit sad if you're full of joy? Can anybody answer that? If you're full of joy, how can anything else get in there? Right? Don't look sad at me. I'm telling you, this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. But if you're not going to be sad, you have to be full of something else. Don't leave any room for sadness. If you ever start feeling sad, just say, He's alive. Why are you sad as you walk together and have these communications? What's happened there? Well, haven't you heard what happened in Jerusalem? What? What's happened in Jerusalem? Well, they killed the Messiah, and we had hoped. The Messiah was right there talking to him. We had hoped that it was he. It was he. He just rose from the dead. Praise the Lord. And he was walking with them, and they didn't even know it. Well, I'll tell you, you see somebody that came back from the dead. That's a little different than seeing somebody get out of bed that's been sleeping. We had a neighbor, his name was Frank. And he worked for the fire department. And of course, when you work for the fire department, you worked so many hours on, and then you had so many hours off, a lot of hours off. And in his hours off, he hired out to drive the hearse, deliver bodies that died in Madison and wanted to be buried in Eau Claire and so on, or vice versa, or wherever. So he drove a lot of dead bodies around. And they once took a dead body from Eau Claire to Madison. My neighbor told me this. He just died himself. But anyway, they drove down, and they delivered the body, and they were coming back in the wee hours of the morning, you know, and the gas station was open. They needed gasoline. They pulled into the gas station, you know. But here's what happened. They delivered the dead body, and there was two of them driving in the hearse, and one of them got tired, and he went in the back, wanted to take a nap. So he was in the back of the hearse, laying there, sleeping. And when the hearse came to a stop at the gas station, the attendant came out and says, "How many?" You know, and he says, "Fill her up." And he's plunk, plunk, psh, putting the gas in. And the guy woke up, and he pulled the curtains back, and his hair was all messed up. And his eyes were all... The guy goes, "Nah!" And Frank told me this. The guy took off down the block, and he never did come back. He never did come back. I'll tell you, when you see somebody dead come back to life, that's another experience. Well, here's these disciples walking along, and Jesus is walking with them, and they thought he was dead, you know. Well, when he proved that he was alive in the breaking of bread, and they saw those holes in his hands, and they saw those hands that they had seen before, those hands that touched the leper and cleansed, those hands that were laid on the sick and they were healed, those hands that broke bread and fish and fed multitudes of people, thousands of people. When they saw those hands and recognized it, knew that he was alive, he disappeared out of their sight, and they were full of joy and ran back to Jerusalem to tell the good news that Jesus was alive. Now, if you ever feel sad, you see somebody sad, just tell them Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Praise the Lord. That'll bring life to your soul. That'll bring life to a dying man. That'll bring joy to anybody that's on their way to heaven. Now, the God of hope, that's our hope. The Bible says, the Bible doesn't say rejoice when everything's going good. Bible doesn't say rejoice when you made a big sale or you got a great victory or somebody gave you a new car or you won a trip to wherever, Switzerland. Rejoice because everything's going so good. The Bible doesn't say it. The Bible says rejoice in hope. Rejoicing in hope. That means even when things are going terrible, when things are wrong, rejoice in hope. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame? That was Jesus' example for us. Look beyond the pain and the suffering and the disappointments of this life. Look forward to that day when Jesus comes again. Amen. So the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You have to believe. You have to have faith and believe that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I want to close with this anecdote. A Skid Row resident who found Christ as his Savior at a mission was a little uncertain about his ability to resist the aroma of alcoholic beverages. On the first night after his conversion, he wanted to walk to the mission without detouring to avoid a tavern. Temptation facing him on the way to the mission. So he drank all the buttermilk he could before he ventured down the street. Stepping out on the sidewalk, he patted his full stomach and murmured and said, "There, devil, try to put something on top of that." Catch? If you're full of buttermilk, you don't have room for liquor. And if you're full of joy, you don't have room for sadness. And if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you don't have room for this world. Praise the Lord. We got to overcome. We've got to overcome all of our temptations and trials. Can we stand tonight and sing something pretty and open this altar for those? I know. I sit up here on the platform and I look out over you people. And if you ever see me up here and I start shedding tears, it's because I look at you and I know what you're going through. I've talked with you during the week. I know the sorrows you have, and my heart goes out to you. But if my little old heart goes out to you, what do you think about the big heart of God? Just think how he cares tonight. Some of you are going through hard trials right now. I know that. I could just look around and pick you up. In fact,